everyone.
Good evening.
We will call the July 22nd, 2025 City Council meeting to order. We always start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Hayes, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now we do roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transier is absent for the record, but he is participating remotely, but not voting, just for the record.
Okay, thank you.
Clocher.
Yep.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser is absent. Merrick.
Here.
Cornelius.
Here.
Hyatt.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have quite a few items on the agenda. I'm not sure how much discussion we're having on a couple of these items. It's been requested that under Planning and Zoning Commission, items 3 and 4 get moved up. I'd like to move those up to the first mayor's report, and we'll put those before item 1. I'm making a note. Please remind me.
Yep.
So I'll probably forget by the time we get there. Okay, it's the only change I have for the agenda. Now we have presentations. Mr. Jensen, you're here to talk about the Police Department Illinois Enforcement Accreditation Program. Was it ILEAP? ILEAP Award. And is Mark Maton here? Is that, did I pronounce it right?
Sir.
Boy, am I good. So, thank you. Jim, you want to take it over?
Absolutely. So if I could have all the men and women of Yorkville Police Department, come on up front, please. Yep, Jeff? Absolutely. So while they're coming up, I'm going to talk a little bit about ILEAP accreditation, and then I'm going to turn it off to Chief Maton with the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. So the command staff's extremely proud to recognize the men and women of the Yorkville Police Department for achieving Illinois law enforcement accreditation, which is a significant milestone that reflects their hard work, dedication, and commitment to the highest standards of professional policing. This accreditation underscores our department's focus on transparency, accountability, excellence in serving the Yorkville community. I've been asked, why pursue accreditation? Very simply, we're proud of who we are, and we value the community we serve. That pride drives us to never stop growing, learning, and improving. Norman Vincent Peale once said, the trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. For YPD in our city, we choose growth over comfort. We welcomed ILEAP into our department, not for a pat on the back, but to providing meaningful, constructive feedback that will help us serve the residents of Yorkville better. They challenged us to be better. Accreditation isn't about a certificate. It's about constantly raising the bar and evaluating ourselves. Why? Because our citizens and our officers deserve nothing less. We'd like to extend our sincerest gratitude to Chief of Police Mark Maton from the Lamont Police Department for presenting this prestigious award on behalf of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. We'd also like to thank Mayor Purcell and the City Council for their continued guidance and support of this important program. A special thank you goes out to Deputy Chief Ray McCollisek for his exceptional effort and leadership as the department's accreditation manager. Ray's knowledge of policy and procedure, along with his tireless work ethic, enabled us to achieve this goal in under 2 years. Most agencies take anywhere between 2 and 3 years to get this done. Ray did it in less than 2. Thank you, Ray, for all your hard work, your effort, your dedication, and most importantly, your desire to make this organization one of the best in law enforcement. We're equally grateful to the residents of Yorkville for their trust and support as we work together to keep our community safe and secure. This achievement is a direct result of the exceptional efforts, dedication, and professionalism of every member of this department, those whose work ensures that we remain focused on best practice standards in law enforcement and the ongoing professionalization of our field. As a chief of police, and more importantly, as a resident, a lifelong resident of the city, I'm honored to work alongside these men and women each and every day and proud to serve this community together with them. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Chief Maytown for the presentation.
Thank you, Chief. Good evening to Mayor Purcell, City Administrator Olson, and Chief Jensen. I'm Mark Maytown. I'm currently the now past president of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. Thanks for inviting me in to join you for the presentation to Yorkville with its 2025 Tier 2 Illinois Law Enforcement Accreditation Award. The Illinois Chiefs created the iLEAP program about 10 years ago as a way to help police departments demonstrate to their communities the unwavering commitment to achieve the highest professional standards. There are only 61, and now 62, accredited agencies in Illinois. For iLEAP, we partner with several major organizations such as the Illinois City County Management Association, the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, Northwestern University, the Intergovernmental Risk Management Association, Illinois Law Enforcement Standards and Training Board, and there are others as part of the iLEAP Accreditation Council. iLEAP is a program designed to be an administrative bulletproof vest. This administrative armor was designed to reduce risk and liability and serve as a catalyst to professionalize the industry. It's really a demonstration to the board and to the community that the department is following the national best practices on policies and procedures, and that the auditing process they've just gone through for the last year tests whether the department is operating in compliance to those standards that they have set for themselves. There are a lot of additional benefits to it: improved police effectiveness, identification of problem areas, the development of documentation of performance, decreased insurance premiums, decreased liability, and most importantly, the demonstration to the community that the police department runs a state-of-the-art operation. To achieve this accreditation, the department had to demonstrate compliance with 181 professional standards covering four critical policy areas, which were administration, operations, personnel, and training. Accreditation requires a department-wide commitment to organizational excellence, Chief's team, and that team was led by Deputy Chief Ray Mikulosek, spent several months preparing for assessors to review the department's policies, procedures, reports. The assessment team also spent 2 days on site here observing members of the police department conducting interviews, participating in ride-alongs, and hopefully many of you participated in some of those. This independent third-party review ensures that accredited organizations actually do what they say they do, to serve and protect their communities according to the highest professional standards. And once accredited, you will remain so for 4 years, and then Ray, you got to do it again. So on behalf of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, congratulations to Chief Jensen, Deputy Chief Mikulosek, and the entire Yorkville Police Department on achieving its 2024 Tier 2 iLEAP accreditation. So how about a round of applause for that?
Squeeze everybody in. No, you don't need an old guy on there.
Should we just stay up here, Sam?
Guys, all jump right in.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to find our way.
The authentic layer. That makes sense.
A large picture with everybody. This is the city.
Come on. Got a window.
Can you be seen?
Yeah.
Over.
Do I need to crouch?
Nobody needs to see me.
Jimmy Neal in front. I wouldn't be able to get up.
Stay right there.
Can you get all of us?
I don't think so.
I have to go back into the next county.
Squeeze in.
Yeah.
Like we like each other.
Can't keep it on here short. I'm just missing Craig now. I get a little Garrett's phone.
We could have Detective Johnson, Detective Ketchmark, Officer Goldsmith, Sergeant Nelson, and D.C. McCollisek up front, please. You can tell Jeff likes that. There's a look on his face, right? All right, so we are presenting tonight the Distinguished Service Awards. Tonight, we'd like to recognize some truly amazing police work that resulted in multiple Class X felony charges in a complex and dangerous murder-for-hire investigation. Cases like this are extremely rare. This was truly a once-in-a-lifetime investigation, and it was only through a total team effort that this dangerous individual was taken off the streets. When this case came in, only two members of our administrative and investigative team were still in the office. It came in closer to 5 p.m. Once the call was made, the entire team immediately responded. After working already an 8-hour day, they returned to work and put in nearly 24 hours straight. They went home for 3 to 4 hours, probably didn't sleep because they knew they had a lot of work ahead of them. And they came right back fully committed to seeing this case through. From the very beginning, their top priorities were the safety of the potential victim in this case and preserving the integrity of this critical investigation. I cannot express how proud we are of this team and how impressed we are with their relentless effort, professionalism, and dedication. For their exceptional work, we're proud to present the following members of the Yorkville Police Department with a Distinguished Service Award, which reads, "This honor is presented to Yorkville Police personnel whose outstanding performance during a significant and critical incident or investigation results in the apprehension of a suspect during an in-progress felony call for service or the apprehension of a suspect through investigative means on a major criminal case." I've been in law enforcement for over 34 years. I've never been involved in a case, in a murder-for-hire case. So this is truly an exceptional performance by this team. So please join me in congratulating Lead Detective Jeff Johnson, Detective Matt Ketchmark, Officer/Detective SRO Ryan Goldsmith, Detective Sergeant Matt Nelson, and Deputy Chief Ray McCollisek. They all were involved in this case, not only for the week or 2 weeks that it took to investigate the initial, they are still working on this case and put well over 500 plus hours into this investigation. So, congratulations.
Very impressive.
next.
Okay. Well, now we have Parks and Rec Department recognition July 4th volunteers. Tim, you want to do this? You want me to do it? You want to do it?
I want to bring
them
up.
Okay, yeah, bring them up. Come on down.
Well, I'm sure Carol has a lot to say, too.
Well, Carol gets a time limit. 27 seconds.
Somewhere up front, fine. Where are you comfortable?
You want to
sit down?
Yeah,
all chairs on you, too. It's like the dating game or something like that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, stay here. You should be good.
Well, no, we just wanted to recognize, obviously.
Mike. Yeah. Mr. Microphone. That's for Tim. Anyone remember that toy, Mr. Microphone? I know you old people.
We just wanted to bring everyone out. We wanted to recognize, obviously, Carol and Linda here. If people don't know the history of the Yorkville 4th of July celebration, they can talk about it a little bit more. But 70 years ago, when they were Girl Scouts, they started the parade, correct? And it was just a bicycle parade at the time?
No.
Oh. But I thought it started with that.
Before that, when we were little kids, there had been a like a bicycle and doll buggy parade through the angle sidewalk in the city park. And then for some reason it quit and we didn't know why. So we asked our mother, you know, why that happened and shouldn't we have a celebration? And her answer was, if you want something done, do it. And so we figured we couldn't do it, but we would be willing to collect the money. And we went to the firemen. Of course, we kind of had an in because Dad was assistant chief. So we went to Bristol Kendall Fire Department, and they did the whole thing. All we did was collect money for it. And so that's how it started.
Yeah, well, it's a great tradition that, you know, started 70 years ago. And then 12 years ago, in 2013, obviously, I got involved with it myself. Steve played a big role with it. The Chapel on the Green with Ann and Susie helping out. You guys had continued doing the parade setup, which has been huge for us to be able to continue this fabulous tradition that, you know, people all over the Yorkville community come out for and look forward to. So I thought it was important to come out and say thank you for the 70 years ago of getting this going again, for all the Chapel on the Green's done. I know this is your guys' last year participating in this, you know, with next year being 250, we definitely want to make sure we honor you guys and thank you for everything you've done to help me get it started and keep that tradition going.
The good thing about it is it's volunteer firemen that are going to take over doing the parade lineup, so it's kind of going full circle. It's the volunteers that are doing that.
Yeah, so just wanted to say thank you very much for everything you guys have done the last 12 years and then also for the past 70 years of getting it started. So thank you.
But I think they're two.
Oh, they're two different
ones.
Yeah, I think they're two different. So I think Ann and Susie, we got these two for helping out.
Oh, yeah, we get something.
For volunteering the last 12 years. And then this one was a little more designed, so with the 70 years in mind.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks.
So I have to say, Susie, I can call you Susie.
Yeah, sure.
I always called you Sue.
Okay.
Susie, I love it. Like Susie Q.
We're
going to do a picture. Oh, and you're going to be around next year for the fireworks. So, you know, we really upped the budget for the fireworks. So stay awake. Stay awake for the fireworks.
You want to collect more money for that now.
Well, if you want to do that, go around with the boot, you know. And
been there, done that.
I've been many times.
Mm-hmm. It was door to door.
Yes, it was. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for all you've done. It's a great tradition. We get thousands of people there, too, and I love it. And you were able to talk to Steve, too. Good. Thank you. Did he good? Thank you so much. And when I hear Susie, I think of Creedence Clearwater Revival. Susie Q. It's not Susie Q, but that's okay, right?
Okay.
What, was your maiden name with the Q?
No.
Oh, okay. We'll pretend it was. John Fogerty wrote that about you, probably. Okay. Now, what are we on to? Oh, public hearings. Do we have any public hearings?
No.
I got to make sure to talk to the microphone. Sorry. And all you aldermen have been pretty quiet so far, but when it's time to vote and speak into the microphone. Oh, Matthew, I learned something over the weekend. So I went to this party. Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. I went to this party over the weekend, and half the group was Polish. And the dude's name was Marek. And that's Mark in Polish, or in English, or whatever. So you're like Matty Markers and Marky Markers. Wasn't there like a Marky Mark in the Funky
I'm
Bunch?
I'm Czechoslovakian.
Well, east of here. Anyway.
Yes, essentially.
That's pretty interesting. Okay. Next, citizen comments on anything on the agenda. I guess you could even comment on these presentations we just made if you wanted to. But any comments on anything on the agenda? If you have anything, step to the microphone and state your name, please.
My name is Bernie Weiler. I'm an attorney whose office is in Sugar Grove, Illinois. I have spoken to you previously on this issue. On the agenda tonight as a discussion item is the proposal for the Cardinal development for the construction of 17 million square feet of data centers. The first thing that I want to indicate is that this has been an evolutionary process for the neighbors who, since they have been notified of this proposal, have been doing investigations and collecting data and interviewing people who've been affected by the data centers. Our first approach was to cooperate with the developer to see exactly what was done. We've sat through a couple of very excellent presentations as to what the benefits, the potential benefits to the community would be. But as we have worked through this, our concerns have grown significantly from the beginning to the end. And one of the things that we would like the City Council to recognize that this is a radical departure from the comprehensive plan. And it does affect the people who have elected to construct their homes near this site. When that comprehensive plan and the zoning was residential. So in taking a measured approach to this, we don't want to be seen as the torch and pitchfork people that object to everything, but we've taken a measured approach. And one of the things that we've recognized is that the staff has done some really significant work in creating a set of circumstances and an ordinance which addresses problems that are known to be created by these data centers. So the one thing that we start with is that we know that these data centers do create discomfort to the surrounding areas. One of the things that we don't know is whether or not the solutions that have been applied to this and have been conceived to address the known problems have not been tried. And so we are kind of in an experimental situation as to whether or not the circumstances which have been developed to assuage the known problems are actually going to abate the problems that have been encountered by people who have been living around these data centers. One of the other things that need to be recognized is that the developers have said that they are not going to build this on speculation. They're going to wait till the money shows up. So we don't know that they're even going to construct this project tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now. But we also know that once they start, it's going to be a 20-year process. So we want some recognition to be made to the fact that even this staff has created, has given in their presentation the caveat that this whole development may not occur. That once this is done and a vote is taken, the landowners are vested with the rights to use this as a data center. That doesn't go away and you can't take that back. So because this is a long-term proposition, we'd ask that some time be taken to maybe study some of the effects that have been taken and to take into consideration some of the testimony of people who have lived around these. And I think that when this becomes a decision item, we will have people that will be able to discuss what they have experienced. With regard to how this is going to be built out, one of the concerns that we have, and one of the caveats that has been addressed by the staff, is that this may not be entirely built out. So all of the statistics of what we say are going to be the benefits to the community may not mature. But what we do know is that when the and one of the things that we have to recognize is that we are competing against ourselves to attract these data centers. There is proposed 3,000 acres to be dedicated to data centers. So who's going to, and the Yorkville itself was in competition with other communities for the data center that was eventually built in DeKalb. So all of the other communities are now thinking about all of the benefits that we've been studying and are going to be competing for the location of these centers when the money arrives and when the decision to build is going to be made. So the biggest circumstance that concerns us is that the concept is that, well, first of all, we think that there should be a pause in thinking about committing this land to this use. The other concern that we have, and the most significant concern, is that the plan of the developer is to build first from the west to the east. That will impact the homeowners, that will have the greatest impact on the people who are living there, as opposed to building from the west to the east, from the east to the west, along a corridor where the only people who are going to be affected by it are the people who are driving by. That they are not going to be living next to this 24/7, where these data centers are operating with their cooling equipment all of the time, and the hum of the significant power consumption that is going into these data centers. So if we look, if you were to look at the plan, you will see that the first buildings that are planned will be adjacent to the subdivision that is directly to the west. In the event that this place fails, that, you know, right now we are thinking that we need these data centers so that we can all send pictures of our cats to each other, that may be handled in the next 20 years by a technology that shrinks in size significantly. So we could end up with a building that ends up being an 8-track tape machine that is never used again. But we have to look at it. So that's one of the things that we would like to have considered. And also, we don't know, and we're convinced that the staff is committed to the enforcement of the regulations that they have designed. And that is admirable and a practical approach, given the fact that there will be revenue from all 17 million square feet of this humming operation. That may not occur, and that we may end up with something that we have to enforce with significantly less revenue to use to enforce it. So in the meantime, if there's going to be an experiment of what this does to our community, it should be advanced. Whether or not it should be done is a concern to the residents that are going to be affected by it. But if that's going to be done, if we're going to experiment as to how this is going to affect the people who live here, it should be conducted in a place where it is initiated, at a place where it has the least impact on people, which is at the East End. The developers have indicated that, well, we have to do it from the west because Commonwealth Edison is the 800-pound gorilla on the block, and nobody tells Commonwealth Edison what to do, and this is the easiest way for them to get power. The presentation of that BART is an excellent presentation, shows that the incentive for Yorkville is significant tax dollars that are going to come from a very small portion of the energy that is consumed, or the bill for the energy that is consumed. Okay, so there's plenty of incentive for Commonwealth Edison, who is going to be issuing those bills, to cooperate with the city, who is going to commit to build 3,000 acres of consumption potential for them. So I do think that there is the possibility to influence Commonwealth Edison, that if you want to participate in this, start on Route 47, which is going to be a four-lane highway, and people could just drive by it. They're not going to have to live next to it. And one of the reasons for this is that to assuage this, the effect that it has on homeowners, the plan is to create a ring of trees all the way around the site. These are going to be 70-foot buildings, and to mask those with trees is going to take a significant growth period. You can't plant a coniferous tree that is more than 10 feet tall, and it's going to take another 10 years for it to grow up to a 20 feet height. These are 70-foot buildings, and you should at least allow the maturity of these trees to grow during that 20-year period while they are developing this lot, or developing this plot of land, so that once they get to the place that affects the residents the most, that we will have the most mature screening. So we do have that concern. We have some data as to what will really occur during the construction sites. We put some pencil to paper as to what the construction activity is going to look like over the next 20 years, and we'll be available to present that. We won't bore you with that or extend your meeting at this time, but it is actually interesting data that needs to be taken into consideration. Once again, it should not be that should not be conducted at the end of the unit that most directly affects the residents. We do have the additional concern about what we don't think has been satisfied as the low tone emissions that cannot be measured necessarily by the decibel studies that have been done, as well as the high pitched emissions from the air cooling equipment that is there. We're not convinced that we know what the effect is that going to be, but there are places to build that where that effect isn't going to be heard by the residents until we know how to control it. So we'd ask for some care to be exercised in considering this. Once you do this, you can't take it back. They're vested with this. You do have the power. If it is something that you believe is a benefit to the community, we're not sure it is, you do have the power to organize it in a fashion that is rationally based upon concern for the residents. And this not only for the residents of the community that I represent, but there are other residential communities that ought not be the guinea pig for this. So if it's going to be a 20-year process, let us do it in phases that make sense. Thank you.
Are there any others you'd like to speak tonight? If so, state your name, please.
My name is John P. Bryan. I live in Legacy Estates, and I don't have a lot of comments today, but since I'm here, I would like to congratulate you, Chief Jensen. I unfortunately had an incident 2 months ago. My daughter was in an accident by the burnt barrel, and I got the phone call, and then the phone call went dead because she passed out, and Sergeant Hayes called me back and talked me off the ledge, told me where he was. He's like, we need you to get here as quickly as possible because her dogs are in the car. And your officers were amazing. I want to especially point out, I hope I'm not destroying this name, Gerlach?
Yes.
Okay, Officer Gerlach, she was wonderful. And Sergeant Hayes, he was also, and then there were two other officers that helped me get the dogs out of the car. These are German Shepherds. And they were wonderful. And I just thank you. And, you know, to get a call from your daughter that says she was in an accident and the phone goes dead is pretty scary. So thankfully I live close, and your officers did a wonderful job, and I congratulate you. So.
And knocking John off the ledge is no easy.
It is not. He's been having to deal with me with this whole Project Cardinal thing. So I am not going to get into my comments or questions tonight because, you know, frankly, the petitioner is not here, but I do appreciate it. As Bernie said, I am knee deep in research on these data centers, and I haven't had a lot of time because this thing was basically thrown on me in the very early part of May. And the digger I deep, I told this to Keith, the deeper I dig, I keep saying, the closer to hell I get. And so I'm only gonna give one piece of data that I know based on what I used to do for a living. This project goes through 60,000 ready mix trucks will go onto that site. 60,000 8 cubic yard ready mix trucks just for the slab. And that's if the slab is 8 inches thick. And I don't know the thickness. We haven't got any engineering or how these things are spec'd, but based on an 8-inch slab, 60,000 8-yard concrete mixers. Let that sink in until the next time that I'm here. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone on Zoom would like to speak to any item on the agenda? Oh, go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Mary Mahar Bartolone. I've been here before. I live in Yorkville along Blackberry Shore Lane. Also, I'm the Bristol Township Assessor, just full disclosure. And I've been sitting here contemplating, which hat do I want to wear? Because I want to make sure I can speak from my heart as a homeowner, but also as a professional, as the assessor. And all these data centers are in our position. Yeah, so anyway, on the surface, of course, new construction is always good for our tax bills. This year, we're going to have about $35 million of new construction. $25 million of the new construction is residential. It'd be good if that continued.
I should note that a lot of our new construction is the filling in of neighborhoods that went out of business back in 2009. So I'm not really sure how much longer we're going to have, you know, $25 to $30 million worth of new construction once those developments get built out. But certainly there won't be as much if all of our farmland is getting soaked up by data centers. Now, data centers do obviously generate a lot of assessed value. And of course, that's good. But I guess all I'm saying, and here's what I'm going to go and put on my homeowner hat, as person has a right to say how I feel about it as a homeowner, and that is that there needs to be balance. And there is no balance when all of this farmland is slated to become data centers. And I know that some people will say, yeah, it's great that they don't have kids, we have to figure out school situations and that sort of thing. But just don't forget that building new subdivisions brings people who will shop, who will then generate more need for businesses. They'll shop at the businesses. It's a community that can grow. I just want to stress balance. That's all I'm saying. And it just doesn't seem like the future of that is here when we have one campus of data centers after another lining up to give their presentations. And the reality is, the very first one, Cyrus One, hasn't even broken ground on their first building. It's still farmland. So what are we doing? And that's all I have to say about that. Balance. Find some balance. We need businesses. We need the industry. We need people in residential housing. We need it all. It needs to grow at a rate that won't collapse upon itself. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Anyone else? No one else? Anyone on Zoom? One more time? No? Okay, we'll move on.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Somebody, yes, did you want to speak to the public comment?
I'd like to, if I may, please.
Yeah, please, just state your name for the record.
Joel Marshall, I'm in unincorporated Yorkville.
Okay, thank you.
I live over on Amanda Lane between Yorkville and these data centers. And I've read some articles recently, New York Times specifically, where homeowners have lost their wells. I'd like to know if there's what the chances of that around here are, and what the mitigation plan is if such consequences occur. I realize I'm not in Yorkville, so asking the city for water is probably not an option for me, which means my home value would be zero.
Thank you. I will say, you're not here, so we can't really exchange email addresses. This is not a give and take, but I will respond with...
I'm happy to send you mine.
Yeah, if you want to send it... Yeah, Bart, who should he send it to? And then we could get back to you with some information.
I sent it to the email address on the meeting notice. I did email this in, but probably too late to be participating that way.
Yeah, you can email either that at email address again or bolson, B-O-L-S-O-N, at yorkville.il.us, and I'll type it into the chat here too, and then we can respond via email.
I've
okay,
got his email thank you. Too.
Oh. Okay, great, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go to the consent agenda. We have minutes from June 24th, 25, bills totaling $3,762,714.19. PW 2566, a resolution approving a pipeline crossing license agreement with Illinois Railway LLC, the East Alley Water Main Replacement Project. PW 2567, resolution approving pipeline crossing license agreements with Illinois Railway LLC, 2025 Water Main Replacement Project. Treasurer's report for May and June of 25, and that is it. Is there a motion by Soling, second by Mayor? No discussion, all in favor, signify. No, we got a roll call, sorry.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next, we have moved PCC numbers 3 and 4 up to the beginning of this mayor's report. So we're going to go with the first one here. This is PCC 2510 and EDC 2552, an ordinance approving the final plat of subdivisions for Heartland Meadows West. Looking for a motion and a second.
Motion.
Second. I think that was Koch, right? Okay. And Rusty number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Christy, have they met all the requirements?
Yes, they submitted an updated final plat, and they're just one other item that may be outstanding on this. For the city engineer confirmed that the revised plat is acceptable, so this reflects what was approved in January for the site plan.
Okay, so all our concerns have been addressed?
Yes.
Okay, any questions, comments from the council? Roll call.
Plocher?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have PCC 2511 and EDC 2553, an ordinance approving the final plat of subdivisions for Fox Haven Subdivision. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Koch and Soling. Okay. And this is the old Perfection Park location, correct?
Correct.
And did they meet all of our requests and requirements too?
The last review was dated June 17th by the city engineer, and they are submitting revised plans to reflect those minor changes. So they will be updated prior to recordation.
Okay, so we can approve it, but it won't be recorded until those changes come.
Correct.
Up. Okay. Questions? Comments? Roll call.
Cornels?
Present.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we're back to Mayor's Report number one. I'm looking for a motion and a second to appoint for Officer John Disco Inferno Burner. That's his nickname, just so you know. So can I get a motion, a second?
So
second.
Okay, I don't know.
American Hyatt.
American Hyatt, thank you. Okay, any discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed, motion carries. Thank you very much. Aaron, did you get that song pulled up, Disco Inferno? You did not. Okay, that's fine. Okay, next, I'm looking for a motion and a second. We'll do a roll on this one. For approval of a resolution authorizing a representative to sign loan application and documents pertaining to the public water supply loan program.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Koch. And Rob, this is for you.
Yeah, it's just the authorization. When we have reimbursement submittals for the IEPA loans, I can sign off on those documents and the states to get reimbursed for those project costs.
Any questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Cornels?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, we have the Illinois Public Library and Yorkville Public Library annual reports. Is this a vote or just a discussion?
It's just an informational item.
Okay. Is anyone here from the library or not?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So the annual reports are in the packet. They actually have had a huge increase in some of the programs. The new leadership and new board members over the past few years have developed some new programs, and we're very excited that they're opening those up to the public. And I know one, I think, teaching English as a second language too, which is really cool. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you. Shelly's done a great job over there. Okay, Public Works. I get to turn this over to whom? I don't remember now. Oh, Mr. Soling.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution approving a change order to a contract to construct a 1.5 million gallon standpipe of water main and authorize mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Merrick. And Craig, any comments you have on this one?
I do not.
Okay, we're saving $384,000, and engineer was fine with it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Questions or comments from other aldermen? Roll call, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Hyatt.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item number two, PW 2025-68, a resolution authorizing the purchase of a sewer vac truck.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Plocher. And this was in the budget after trade-in, and that's to, what, $560,000, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Sleaser, that will be delivered this fall yet?
Yes. It should be mid-September when we receive the truck.
Sweet. And that's going to be very helpful?
Yes.
Excellent. Questions? Comments? Mr. Solon?
After the committee meeting, I did a little spec on it myself, and it looks like it's a pretty sizable purchase, but compared to other pricing, I think we're getting a very good deal for what we're getting.
Excellent. Sewer vac, do you use one of those at work?
They won't buy us one.
Oh. Okay, other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Soling?
Item number three, PW 2025-69, Cannonball Estates SSA plan.
Is there a motion to send out the letter to the residents? Is there a second?
Second.
Koch? Oh, Merrick. Okay.
I do have one update.
Yeah, please.
We did calculate our staff time spent on an annual basis for this project. It's right around $5,000. It's around 20 to 30 hours of public works director's time to follow up with contractors, do the bid notices, answer questions from residents. It's a couple hours of my time, Aaron's time, Mayor's time during budget season, and then Rob's time during tax levy season. So. When you annualize that over the 111 homes, it ends up increasing the projected budget from about $656 to about $701. So as long as everybody's okay with that, we'll make some modifications to the budget to reflect a high-end estimate of staff time, and then communicate with the residents and say, you know, your budget could be this high if you choose not to re-establish your HOA.
Mr. Koch.
Yeah, I got a couple questions maybe Mark, you can answer. So when did, just a little bit of history summary on this taking place. I didn't realize that this HOA had kind of failed.
Yeah, they notified us in April or May with kind of a first, a contact. And we've been working with them since then to make sure that we had the legal authority to do so, to get some records from them on what they've been doing and provide some guidance. They had a little bit of money left over, one board member who could authorize the use of it, so we directed them to spend some money to maintain the detention basins in the subdivision.
Do the residents realize and know that the backup SSA is there in place and they are not getting out the freebie out of the deal, that they'll still be having to pay money?
I don't know. My guess is no. But that would be the purpose of sending letters, to just say, you know, this is what's occurring based on the fact that your HOA has went defunct. You know, you have two choices. You can either let us do the maintenance in accordance with this budget, or you can reform the HOA and do the maintenance yourself.
That's what I was wondering. Yep. Do we know, as a comparison, our number versus is theirs a lot larger?
Their previous budget was reflected in a $355 annual expenditure. There's a fair amount of deferred maintenance that they haven't done on trees and some other groundskeeping items. And so we're trying to communicate purposefully a high number so that we don't say, hey, it's going to be, $600 a year annually, and then it ends up being $650 or $700.
Okay, so it's actually an increase then, what we're going to be telling them?
Yes, we believe so, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's about double what they pay now.
Correct.
Yep. So you think that is something that will maybe entice them to go back and?
We'll see.
Find out. Our goal is not to take over.
And I was thinking that going down the road, that could blossom into other ones, maybe doing something similar or something.
Yeah, and if we have to raise the admin fee, we'll do that, because it does take staff time.
Yep. All right,
great. I mean, there's time involved, and that's really not the reason these are formed. The reason these are formed is so they maintain themselves. And are we requiring now subdivisions to have HOAs or not? Or is that just a choice?
Yeah. It's a requirement to have a dormant.
Even if they don't have any public open space?
It's a dormant, as I said, yes.
Okay.
I don't think we've approved a subdivision in the past 20 years that doesn't have public open space. Usually it's detention bases or, entrance signage. Monuments and those types
of things. So I'm just saying way back in the day.
Yeah.
Before the turn of the century.
Well, even Countryside, which is kind of the example, has common spaces that ended up with the city.
Right.
So,
So, okay. Thank you both. Any other questions on this? So we have a motion, a second, this essentially to send out the letter. All those in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Solon?
Nothing further.
Economic development?
No report.
There's no public safety report, and neither one of the two are here. Oh, I'm sorry. Dan zooming in. Dan, there's no report. I apologize. admin report. Rusty.
ADM 2025-27, resolution approving the bid and purchase of computers, docking stations, and monitors.
Is there a second?
Second.
Solon? This was in the budget, correct?
Yeah. It is, and it's our normal 3 or 4 year replacement schedule.
31 computers, so. Any questions or comments? And I don't even get one. Y'all didn't budget enough for me, so I don't get one. Just saying.
You don't budget.
Got to do a better job.
Yes, I guess I do. Okay, roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Solling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Hyatt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Rusty?
Nope, that's it.
Park Board, Tim, you want to talk about the awesome event? Even after the monsoon came through about 11:30, you had a great turnout Saturday at the Riverfest.
Yeah, we had an outstanding turnout. I mean, it was kind of unique.
It did. The events that staff did were awesome.
Yeah, once the storm passed 12:30 by 1 o'clock, it was crowds came out and stayed crowded right until the closing time. So we had a great event. Thank you for everyone coming out. Thank you for the police department for RMC being there. For safety concerns, we had a great cardboard race this year too.
Mike, talking to Mike.
There was just a great turnout the whole time, the whole day. So thank you for everyone to come out that on this past Saturday.
And Gene and Dan from the park board.
These guys spent a lot of hours driving people to and from the parking lots.
Yeah. I'm sure Gene, by the end of the day, his jaw had to be tired.
Yeah. I think he spends more time talking to people.
It's amazing how many people came up to me and say, that guy driving that cart, he wasn't saying good things about you. I said, they're all true. So it was a great event. Anything else coming up? August.
We are working with the police department on the National Night Out, which is on Tuesday, August 5th. It'll be here at Reverend Schneider Park from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a Sonic theme, so please come out. Sonic will be here taking pictures. And Home Plate Hot Dogs will be serving hot dogs. They have a $4 special, hot dog, chips, and drinks. So that's Tuesday, August 5th from 5:30 to 7:30 here at Reverend Schneider Park.
Who's Mayor Pro Tem?
Transgender.
Dan.
It's me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Can we nominate as Mayor Pro Tem?
We've got one. It's Matt now?
Yeah, it's me.
Matt.
No, it's Merrick now.
It's me. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on, except time to shine, buddy.
Well, you can go check and see how long it's going to be.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, so next up, Planning and Zoning Commission, PZC 2025-07, Project Steel, the Prologis Data Centers is discussion.
Matt, I can't hear you at all. You could just get right up to your mouth. Oh, I'm sorry, God. There's a lot of people online, so you just can't hear
Yep, me. That was loud enough. Repeat that. Next item, Planning and Zoning Commission, PZC 2025-07, Project Steel, Prologis Data Center, this is the discussion item.
So this is on the agenda not for a vote or for discussion, it is for a discussion. If anybody has questions about Project Steel, Christy and I can walk you through them, but that's the purpose of this, is to just provide an open forum in case if there's new questions or new materials to present. with Project Steel. Just as a reminder, they're on the August 5th EDC meeting, and then the August 13th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for all their agenda items. So should be back in front of you again, second meeting in August, you know, at the earliest possible time for a vote. So.
Any questions? Next part?
Yep.
Okay. Item 2, PZZ 2025-08 and EDC 2025-50, Project Cardinal, Pioneer Data Center, also discussion item.
I think I only have two minor updates. There was a package of materials that was updated on the project website like last week, I believe. It was a bit
and
of
today.
A blur for me. And today, okay. One of which is an update from the developer on the sound study, basically confirming that based on their early design choices for the buildings and then the layout, that they believe that they're going to be able to meet the sound code requirements under city code. And that has been reviewed by our sound engineer, who has actually corroborated that statement in general. So there's still obviously a long ways to go with specific project selections, but the earliest sign from our own sound engineer is that they do feel that their land use plan and the choices they've made so far will be able to adhere to the sound code. So that's one item. And then the second item was I did have a conversation with ComEd as representative on data centers. It was today, just asking them about, you know, how does the phasing work and the construction of all those things. Their commitment to us was that they would work with us on phasing to the extent that they could. They seem to be more flexible than maybe some of the developers had represented in the past. But of course, that's a rubber meets the road thing. And the examples that they gave is just depending on where the infrastructure is sitting, you know, there might be things that they're prohibited from doing as far as order of buildings, just because you can't put an electric line here and then put it over here, you know, whatever, however that works. And so they said that they would note our comments with Cardinal specifically and some of the ongoing discussions about how that should be phased, with the residents saying one thing, the developer saying another, maybe the city staff and the electric officials not having weighed in fully yet. But then also that they'll just review things, you know, kind of as it goes along. So they committed that to us, and we'll see how it goes in the future. I think that was the only thing I had to update. Christy, did you have anything else that was new?
The petitioner submitted a updated traffic impact study today. We have not had a chance to review it, but we did upload it on the website to look at it.
Or what's the time frame for this one then? Same kind of thing?
Well, there's still a fair amount to be resolved with the actual annexation agreement and PUD agreement, which would be two of the agenda items you would have to approve. You know, I said at the last meeting that the earliest that could occur probably is going to be August 12th. You know, that's a pretty quick turnaround here for a couple items, so we'll see if we make that. We probably won't have an indication until the week before the meeting as to whether it's complete or not. And then that says nothing of the development obligations and infrastructure and offsets that we've talked through in previous meetings at a future meeting. So
late August at the earliest.
I think that's probably a reasonable timeline, but it's going to be driven by, you know, how quickly the developer gets comments back to us, you know, what those comments are, how quickly they can be resolved.
Ken, you're doing fine. Craig had a question.
I don't know if you can answer this for me or not, Mark, but just for clarification, the acreage that these data centers are going on, water consumption versus if a residential was going on the same, is significantly less for a data center than it would be residential. Am I correct in that assumption?
The way we're restricting and controlling them and they're proposing, how they're going to build it to us, yes. We would anticipate data centers to be much more water efficient than a subdivision of the equivalent acreage.
And they're not in wells either, correct?
Correct, yeah. So that was, I think, the comment posed by the resident who I think he's still here. You know, in general, we don't anticipate any data centers to open before we transition to like Michigan water, which should then alleviate the local burden of our well system being used by data centers.
And I do think, most of these, I can't speak to all these properties, most of these, no matter where you start, you're going to be relatively closer to homes than a building that's not there. You know, there's homes on all four sides of these properties. You know, so that's a great comment, but it's also, you know, if these get approved, who do you say, you know, you should build next to first? It's just something to consider.
Well, I particularly wanted to address the water because it seems a lot of people have been contacting me about that. And the argument is we want more residential, brought with feedback that the schools can't accommodate more residential, but we don't want data centers that are going to use up water. But the truth is they're not going to use up as much water. And I think there's so much disinformation out there that we really need to get it out to the public of what the truths are.
Sure.
And to follow up with that, Mr. Solon, these data centers are not the reason we're going to Lake Michigan water.
Right.
And we talked about last meeting, that discussion started 2015, 2016, something like that.
I would say before that even.
Oh, before that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, people can think what they want, believe what they want. These are not the reasons. You know, they would pay a chunk towards them, but they're not the reasons. Other questions or comments?
I do.
Let me go over here to Mr. Pulcher first.
That's fine.
That just being said, if Comet is willing to work
Joe,
with them.
Joe, I can't hear you.
That being said, with Comet, if they are willing to work with them, which I've worked with them on several projects, and they've delayed city projects by 2 years because they wouldn't move a pole. If they could, I would like to see these built from like the middle, working their way out, if possible.
There are residents there as well.
In the middle of the cornfield?
Across on both sides, then.
Yeah,
Baseline Road and then the Lane Road, there's residents as well. Mr. Mayor.
So just a question, you maybe don't know the answer. Attorney Weiler brought it up. Say this moves forward, we've got this, you know, pretty substantial site. The landscaping perspective, is that all put in very early on in the process so that the trees and the undulating berm have the ability to?
Yeah. Okay. At the last EDC that was raised, and they said they would immediately start that kind of stuff.
I couldn't remember. So
that if it took 10 years to say, you would have that in place already for, I believe that's how we had asked that question.
I don't know that we've ever mandated tree planting timelines according to a development, but it is something that we can negotiate, provided the developer wanted to.
And Matt Merrick is on, I'm sorry. Matt McCarron is online from representing the developer, and he can speak more to that. But there was a commitment that the berm and the landscape installation will be done as part of the site work.
And the height of the berm, is there a determination what that is, or is that still part of the discussion?
It was last discussed at EDC two meetings ago, and I think the question was posed, is the 8 foot the average height, like middle of the berm, or is it the top of the berm? And the answer given by the developer was they would have to go back and check, and I don't believe that that's been...
Well, the developer has assured that the average height of the berm would be 8 feet. It could be taller than that.
So he had expressed some, you know, willingness to make it taller.
Yeah, particularly maybe where there's residents.
Sure.
Other questions, comments? Do we answer yours, Matt?
Yep. Including who Matt Evans is on the call. So.
Anything else at this point? Okay. Well, we'll keep this on for discussion for next meeting. And yes, we won't be voting on the early meeting in August. I can tell you right now, I will not put on for a vote next meeting. Okay. Was it that covering both of those? I had to step out.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't have any questions on this. Yeah.
Okay. We did PCC number 3 and 4. City Council report?
No report.
City Clerk report?
No report.
Community Liaison report?
No report.
Staff report?
No reports.
Mayor's report, any update on the building or the water we've been talking about? Any update on either of those?
Building, there's a nice informational packet, field observation report from our architects in there. It's got some site photos. In general, the building's sides are expected to be delivered some point next week, potentially, and maybe going up the week after that. and construction is moving along. And then the last page in the meeting packet for that agenda item is the construction contingency adjustment log. So we are up to 5 construction contingency adjustments for a total value of about $30,000. And then we've authorized our first owner contingency, which is a voluntary authorization by staff based on, you know, something we see in the field. And that was generally that the concrete mix that we inspect out is not as robust as what we usually do. And so for the sidewalks and some of the other things, they had authorized about $12,000 of additional material in order to strengthen the sidewalks surrounding the property.
Mr. So, Koch?
Mark, these just get tipped up, right? They get trucked in and then they tip them up. Is that how this works? Or,
I think so in general.
Yeah. Yes. Some ice come in with tip bodies that dump into the salt bin. Yeah.
So their numbers should all be pre, they should be no surprises there, right? When that comes to that part.
No.
Should be
in good shape.
John, you might get the numbers. Sorry.
No, we should be in good shape with that. We measured that all out prior to meeting with the construction company and the developer or builder of the building. So.
Any other questions? Anything else on either of those items, Bart? I have no additional business. Any aldermen? Any other citizen comments on anything? Comment on the weather, Riverfest, Chicago Bears, not the Green Bay Packers, though. Anyone? Anyone on Zoom? Okay, we have no need for executive session. Is there a motion, a second to adjourn?
Yes.
Clocher, Cornelius, all in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.